This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports cars.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money's here. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Oh, boy. The knockdown, drag-out brawl we've had here in the WFO Radio studios has been fantastic, folks. Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio Ignition. Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Costello, and for the next hour and change, maybe 2 hours, but definitely not 3 hours, we will be here to have a little fun. I am fresh back from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. And I've got a couple of cool things out there with the NHRA Mopar Mile High Nationals. It was a good time hanging with a lot of WFO Radio listeners. On the show, I will theorize as to why we have such a great following out there in the Mile High City. What's up with that? But we will also talk a little NASCAR, the Crown Royal Brickyard 400. Really, where's my odds sheet? The John Wayne Bobbitt, what is it? The John Wayne Walding 400 at the Brickyard. And he's cracking up the great Giovanni in Miami. What are you laughing at? The show just started. Nothing funny has happened.
Bobbitt.
Remember that guy? John Wayne Bobbitt.
I know, that's why I'm cracking up.
John Wayne Walding. Am I going to be the only one that makes that mistake?
Probably not.
Probably not. I think that's ripe for the humor. Now, before we go any further, let's take a second to speak directly to the first-time listener.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Do you want to talk to the first-time listener today?
No, I just wanted to reach out and say hi. That's it.
How do you know he's not a she? Could be a she.
Hey, baby.
The hot, the legendary, much talked-up, hot first-time listener. Yeah?
Well, I haven't been getting those pictures anymore.
She may or may not exist. Who knows? But hey, first-time listener, you clicked the link. One of your friends retweeted this. You said, all right, I'll click it. What's the deal? It's a talk show. It's like a sports talk show. It's like a talk radio show, except we deliver it through the internet, which makes it a podcast. Right? And it's mostly motorsports, NASCAR-based, but we cover a lot of other subjects.
Whatever's pertinent at the time.
Topical.
Topical. There you go.
Topical. And we've been doing it a while, so we've got sponsors and stuff. Listeners, they like it, so maybe you'll like it. How about that, first-time listener? So we'll reconnect with you at the end of the show. We'll see you then. In the meantime,
enjoy the show.
Enjoy the program.
Hang on and enjoy the ride.
Yes. Strap in, hold on. I think that went well. That was a good conversation with the first-time listener. We have got a lot to do, as in there was IndyCar, there was Formula One, there was the big Lewis crash. We're going to make our picks for the Brickyard. But really, I think what it is all about is the 17 straight race run now to the championship. That, to me, is in many ways the story. The final off weekend is in the rearview mirror. That's it. You just experience it. Now, every week, it's pretty crazy, in fact. In 17 weeks, Giovanni, it will be November. It'll be pretty much Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The NASCAR season, we're not going to have another off weekend until Thanksgiving.
Well, I think it's that there's a week in between the last race.
Well,
the weekend and then it's Thanksgiving.
Practically, but you'll be getting ready for Thanksgiving, right? You know, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. You remember the Black? We'll be talking.
We might have to whip out our winter clothing.
Black Friday, the pre-Black Friday, Black Friday, the Black Wednesday. You know, what they have decided this year, I don't know if anybody knows about this, but the new Black Friday policy is the stores are open on Thanksgiving between 12 noon and 6 p.m. Like right during Thanksgiving is the new thing. Wow. That really drives home the point. I didn't realize it last year when we broke that out the first time. That thing really aged well. Whew. It makes me afraid of, I don't even want it to happen. Let's cancel the championship. Well, anyway, make your tickets and make your plans and get your tickets for the Ford Championship weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway. Because get your popcorn ready. We've had 11 different winners. And we have how many races to go?
Seven
races to go till the chase. And a lot of interesting stuff, like percolating and circulating. Brad Keselowski was up doing the car wash on Espen this week. And very interesting. The guy is awesome. He really is a great ambassador for the sport. I saw him on Mike and Mike. I get the call from Giovanni in Miami. Giovanni is like, put on Mike and Mike. I'm like, I don't really like Mike and Mike. They're very kind of vanilla.
That's exactly what they are. That's what I told you.
And that's why they're on ESPN. Because they have to be, you know, the mouse.
Softball.
Eisner. The mouse wants vanilla. This is Disney.
Well, he doesn't want to offend anybody.
Of course not. There's parents and kids, and they're in the morning, and they don't want any kind of conflict at all. Which is okay. I'll do the mic. I'll be Mike of Mike and Mike. You could be the other Mike. And we'll be like lob just big giant softballs at each other, just back and forth. Softballs. But whatever, they're very, very popular. And Brad Keselowski went on there. And to me, he does the best job of speaking to the people who don't like NASCAR, who are not fans, who are stick and ball fans, who are sports fans, the Mike and Mike listener, who are
crossing
like,
over,
trying to cross over. He does a great job of speaking directly to those folks. And he makes it relatable. He makes it understandable. He actively tries to court them. Something that I don't think too many other drivers have really ever done. In fact, I think a lot of other drivers have been like, you know, they're not going to like what we do anyway, so it doesn't matter. As opposed to trying. If you can convert 1 out of 100, guess what? That's one more. That's the way we've been doing it here on WFO Radio for a long time. Trying to get 1 out of 1,000 to stick around. Click the link, hear the show, stick around, become part of the WFO family. Become part of the WFO listener horde out there. You know, you've got the Yankee Universe, and you've got Ginger Nation. You've got the WFO horde. We're just a disorganized mob. There was actually some real crazy disorganization going on last week with the WFO radio hats.
That was a bit wild there.
There was a run on the WFO radio hats.
I guess that's the best way to describe it.
There was a run on them. It was the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life. We have a very limited number, very limited number of WFO radio hats remaining. Extremely limited. The number was like
zero.
No, I'm going to throw it out there. It was like 8. And so one of the listeners wanted to buy a WFO hat, and we had 8. And so we had them sold out on the website. And so we opened the website back up, and one of the listeners bought the hat. It has since shipped out. And then we had put it up on the website. So I was like, hey, guess what? You know, if anyone wants a hat, it's on the website. Through our WFO Radio Twitter account. Well, apparently a bunch of WFO Radio listeners were all commiserating, and all of a sudden a run happened on the hats, and they started to sell rapidly. And so we had to shut it down, man. It was like the stock market. We had to shut it down before all the buying and selling went crazy. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, why didn't you just let the run continue? And the answer is we got down to a point where I wasn't sure I was going to be able to fill all the orders. And so I figured I would just say on the show, hey, to the WFO radio listeners that are interested in purchasing a WFO radio hat, just send me an email and we'll figure it out. That way somebody doesn't go on the website and buy something and we can't fill the order.
Absolutely.
That's the right way to handle it, right, customer service-wise?
Yes, sir.
But the people who made the run on the hats, you know who you are.
Yeah, we were super-duper excited over here. It was kind of cool because we were seeing it happen live, I guess.
I don't want to say who it was because I don't want to embarrass him. But I will say that he's from Saugus. Okay? I'm going to keep it under the wraps a little bit.
Yeah, just but a little bit.
He tried to corner the market. He was like the Dukes in Trading Places, the frozen orange, concentrated orange juice.
Beaks!
He tried to corner the market on the WFO radio hats. He was already selling them for twice the rate out the back door. Had to put the brakes on it. But he did make a big move in the shipment of WFO radio hats. The pallet will be headed that way to Saugus. But I don't want to say who it was because I don't want to reveal. We had Formula One this past week. We had IndyCar this past week. Formula One, Nico Rosberg wins the race, and that's exactly as predicted here on the show. In fact, I believe it was one of our WFO radio listeners. Do you remember who it might have been who had made the prediction?
No, I thought you were the one, actually.
No, it wasn't me. I read the prediction. Oh, okay. I think the prediction came from one of our listeners, Rich and Saugus.
Oh. Rich was saying, so he came up with the theory that Hamilton won in England at Silverstone?
I believe
so Nico was going to win in Germany.
I believe that is correct.
Now, when you first said that, I thought, oh, shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
And it turned out that way, but no, I mean, Lewis had that horrific crash.
Yes.
And just to show you, he started 20th, 11 laps in, he's up to 10th already.
They have the...
Or maybe vice versa, 10 laps in, he was in 11th.
They have the best car, by far. It's not even close. So now Nico has 190 points, Lewis has 176, and Daniel Ricciardo, Ricciardo, has 106, and Fernando has 97. So there's the points. The Constructors is a total joke. I refuse to even read it.
Yeah, come on, get out of here.
Mercedes, it's over. Bring us all a body bag. It's over. But, I mean, you just look at the schedule, and it just shows winning team. Mercedes, 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 Red Bull. Mercedes, Mercedes, Mercedes. So it's outrageous. That's not fun. That's not fun. When the same team wins every single week, but this is.
Not unless it was my team.
Well, yeah, let's take a second to imagine that said Ferrari. Yeah, that would be super fun, right? I would be parading around. I would have my air horn. Also going on, the Camping World Truck Series at Eldora. We have got that going on in the background.
I think it rained, and they canceled the practice from what I understand.
Looks a little wet out there. To me, though, this is a great thing that NASCAR has done. This is the second year, and, like, look at that. First of all, it is very wet, but that's fun. That's the connection. It bridges the gap between the dirt track racer and the asphalt racer. The fact that these vehicles do both, and there are other vehicles that do both, but these are high-level, known NASCAR competition vehicles. Jeb Burton is on track at the moment. He is currently first.
I think he's the
one of one. But very interesting. Very interesting. So we'll keep you apprised of that. So if you're listening on, Saturday morning to the show, you can hear what the qualifying was like 4 days ago. Now, we do have a lot of listeners that listen to the show at various times that are not. We have listeners that are weeks behind, but they still find what we're doing interesting. They're in their own universe. So that's kind of cool. So we're very happy about that. We've got our WFO sponsors. We're going to be telling you about them. And I'm just thrilled. We've got the Crown Royal presents the John Wayne Bobbitt 400 at the Brickyard. See, I shouldn't say that because John Wayne Walding, I'm sure he's like a veteran or something. Do we know about this guy? That's perfect for Geo's Tools.
I'm on it.
Find this guy. Before I make humor about his name, he's like a, you know, Medal of Honor recipient or something, and I'm making light of a bad situation. I don't want to get caught in that situation. But there's a lot to get into. We're going to get into it here on WFO Radio. We're going to open the phones as well. The phones will be opened, as in we will give the numbers, we'll open the Skype line and see what happens. If you're a first-time listener, here's basically the deal. Since it is a on-demand program, you are not listening to us as we are imploring you to call. You just get the application, see that the phones are open, and call with whatever you got, and then we deal with it. And it has made for some interesting stuff. And at the tail end of the show, I'll give some Denver stories, though. Great WFO venue. Bandimere Speedway. And I'll be talking about this on Nitro as well. You guys are getting a little bit of a sneak peek. The Nitro show was on location at the Winter Circle, meaning while I'm there, I just do it. I record everything. Ran into WFO radio listeners. The facility is literally in the side of the mountain. Like, you imagine the side of a mountain, and you cut some steps into it, like three steps. The bottom one is the parking lot. The middle one is the track. The top one is the pits. That's it. Three steps. Super cool. The viewing, the echo, and the view of the valley. You're looking out onto like a valley because you're on the side of a mountain. If you were to cross over the top of the mountain, and this is the what I think is cool, like the venue, the location. It's in Morrison, Colorado. If you were to go from the finish line of the track up and over the mountain and then down, you would come down very close to the location where the first dinosaur fossils in North America were ever found.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
And if you were to keep walking straight up the next hill, you would be at Red Rocks, the Red Rocks Amphitheater. Have you heard of the Red Rocks Amphitheater?
Yes.
Okay. Had you heard of the Red Rocks Amphitheater before I went there and told you, like, hey, I'm at Red Rocks?
No, not really. To be honest with you, I know the Red Rocks out by Vegas. What is that called? The Fire? God, I can't even remember.
Canyon of?
Yes. Valley of Fire.
This is the Geo, another Geo tool. I have to say, Geo, I'm very disappointed in you as a rock and roll guy not knowing about Red Rocks. Now, me, on the other hand, it's not that big a deal that I knew nothing about Red Rocks. But apparently it's the greatest concert venue on earth. And I went, you walk, guess what, another 1,000 feet, you're at Red Rocks. So everything is going on in this one square mile. If you just do one block, a grid, in this one square mile, you've got Red Rocks, which is I guess it's a national park. It was made as part of FDR's New Deal Public Works Program. They said, hey, everybody's out of work in the Great Depression. Let's take a whole bunch of federal tax dollars and put everybody to work and make stuff that will be utilized in the future by future generations. And Red Rocks is one of those places. The Beatles have played there. The Grateful Dead is. Everyone has played there. The whole, everybody.
It opened in 1906.
Red Rocks?
The amphitheater, yes.
And which obviously that's before the New Deal.
According to this, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that makes sense when it was just like a natural thing. They say, and this is confusing, that the rocks there, and each rock has a name, I forget which one is, this rock and that rock, are over 1 million years old. After the race, I went up there was a rave going on. There's a whole bunch of rave.
Like a rave? Like a bunch of kids with their glow sticks and,
yes,
and pacifiers the in their
fuzzy,
mouth and stuff?
The girls with the fuzzy stuff around their legs.
Oh, okay.
You know those things
I
that
know
they
exactly
wear?
What you're talking about.
That they look great when they're...
Yeah, I was up late night last night and that movie Go was on. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
I know of the movie. I don't think I've seen it. But I know about the rave kids. Well, after the race, I went up and all there's a rave. They're like, you're here for the rave, man? And I'm like... It's true. And so now I'm thinking to myself, should I go to the rave? Should I go? I'm by myself. I'm in my NHRA uniform, which is just basically a shirt with some black slacks and a black t-shirt on.
Oh, you would have fit right in. It looked like you came from work from like a costume auto shop or something.
Right. And I was thinking, you know, man, I could pull this off. I could go to a rave at Red Rocks. It was $20. And I thought about it. And I just decided, I started to kind of check out the rave, you know, crew, the clientele.
I'm going to say you probably made the right choice by not going.
And I figured that, you know what, I want to ruin these kids' good time by interjecting my 40-year-old self into their party.
Good move.
Right? Now, I had people tell me that I did the wrong thing, that I should have just gone. They were girls. They were scantily clad. They were in their little tiny stuff. But they were 19. They were 20. There were some 30-year-old people. There were some scary people. There was all kinds. It was just like a great mix of just wonderful people. But I did not go to the rave at the Red Rocks. And then on Monday, I went to Red Rocks and went back up there to just kind of, you know, walk around and see it during the daytime.
Right.
Monday night, as I'm walking up there, guy's like, "You here for the concert, man?" And I'm like, "What concert?" He's like, "Nine Inch Nails and Soundgarden is tonight."
Wow, that might have been pretty cool.
This is 10 a.m. If I had known that Nine Inch Nails and Soundgarden were Monday night, I would have made my travel plans a day later and stayed. But I did not do that, so no, I did not stay. It was 10 a.m. I was like, "Are you here for the concert, man?" He's like, "Yeah." I go, "It's 10 a.m. What time is the concert, man?" He's like, 7 o'clock. I go, "You're going to hang at the Red Rocks all day?" He's like, "Yeah, man." It's like, what? Different kind of people out there in Colorado, apparently. A lot of fitness types, too. Running up and down the stairs of the amphitheater.
Well, you got to be healthy to live in that thin air.
I was, you know, 10 feet, take a break, 10 feet, take a break. It was interesting. Thanks to our great friends Dave and Amy, who sent me some sort of, what is it? Stand by. Please stand by.
Are those the listeners on the
show
that made the show yesterday?
Yes, they sent me Cataplex E2, some sort of dietary supplement that helped me deal with the thin air better than my peers.
Dude, you better be careful. Is that on the banned substance list here at WFO?
No, that is on the preferred substance list.
Okay.
As well as, you know, various other vitamins.
Wouldn't want you to get in trouble taking stuff that you don't know what it is.
I will admit, I do not know what it is. It could have been poison.
Well, no, if they sell it at a store somewhere, well, it's obviously not poison. But, you know, a lot of stuff at GNC can get you to fail that drug test at work, you know? The Adderall and stuff.
Yes, AJ. It's fortunate we don't have that policy about performance-enhancing weightlifting stuff here on WFO Radio. On the other hand, we do...
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm on the HGH.
Yeah. No, but you are on the Bang the Blower from RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, one of our fine sponsors here on WFO Radio. Yes, we do not dabble into the performance enhancing, but we do enjoy coffee and caffeine.
Anybody that's seen us can vouch for that.
Yes. And today on the show, we are enjoying Bang the Blower.
Absolutely.
Which is a type of Rodax custom roasted coffee. Now, Marvin Rodak is a WFO listener, and the number is 817-924-6821. They're based in Fort Worth, Texas, and he's got a barbecue, hot sauce, roasted coffee business. If you're a WFO radio listener, you're listening somewhere around the world, and you want to support the show and say, "Yeah, man, I want to get on board," Marvin Rodak has blended a couple of special blends that are what we would call racing-themed. Bang the Blower, which is a drag racing term when you blow up the supercharger with a violent explosion of flavor, is available. It's a new espresso blend. That's what we just enjoyed, Giovanni. Could you tell the difference in the flavor between that and the WFO radio special blend we were talking about last week, which is also available? Because I can tell you, I am not a coffee expert by any means. I can identify the difference in the flavor.
Well, being that I drank that WFO one a week ago, I would say I don't have the specific recollection.
Where are your notes? You don't keep notes about the flavor of your tasting? The richness and the tasting experience?
Absolutely not.
Well, I think you should. I do. Shall I go back to my notes?
Maybe you could go back to yours.
It's been misplaced.
Well, we started a new notebook this week.
Yes. Point is, go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They have various excellent blends of custom roasted coffee. And Marvin has put together a WFO radio blend that is spectacular. In fact, it even got the big thumbs up from Mrs. Giovanni in Miami.
That is a fact.
That is a fact. And it's pretty impressive. Now, I did ask.
And I'll say she drinks a lot more coffee than I do.
I did ask Marvin. I said, "Marvin, I want to know more about the WFO radio blend." Because he does hot sauces, which are fantastic.
Giovanni has pretty much consumed all of that. The barbecue spice rubs are, you're not supposed to pour it in a shot glass.
I know, but I do pour it from the bottle directly onto the chicken wings.
Onto the wing, and then half of it goes onto the plate, and then you have to lick the plate.
I don't actually lick the plate directly. I pick it up with my finger and then put my finger in my mouth.
None of it's going to waste, but it's great stuff, the hot sauces, the barbecue rubs. But here's the story on the WFO Radio Blend. And if this doesn't get you interested, I don't know what will. The WFO Radio Blend has a special base coffee from the Formosa Estate in Brazil.
Wow.
The Formosa Estate. So I would imagine that's where they're growing the coffee. Then they add some Bella Carmona Estate from Guatemala. That's like flavoring in there. And then finally, a Colombian Estate coffee from high up in the Bucaramanga?
Bucaramanga.
Say it.
Wait, let me see the word. Oh, yeah, Bucaramanga. Bucaramanga.
Bucaramanga.
Yeah.
Mountain range. Way up there in the Bucaramangas. These coffees work well together at the perfect degree of roast. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Order it up. WFO Radio Blend. Go on the website, or you can call them by phone, which I think is a cool way to do it. You say, hey, Marvin, send me something good. I hear those guys talking about you on WFO Radio every week. I want to try some coffee or some hot sauce or some spice barbecue rub. Send it, and he will. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com. The leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
Welcome back to WFO Radio. We have opened the phones here on WFO Radio Ignition. And who knows how it's going to work this week? You know, the whole...
Are we going to crash the lines again?
I hope not. You know, I like when we have callers, but... I don't like crashing the system with just the volume of callers. This is the sheer volume of callers calling in just over and over again. Hey, guys, want to know what's going on the show? But it is kind of interesting to check in with the folks from around the country, around the world. You know, it's kind of weird these off weekends after the off weekend to get geared up again regarding the sport of NASCAR. Kind of tough to get the momentum. It's object in motion stays in motion, and object at rest stays at rest. Tony Stewart won his first sprint car race since breaking a leg. Won his first race since breaking a leg.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's...
But he's back. He's back. That's it. If you want to race over there, he's got to get his stuff together and start winning over here.
Maybe I should pick him in the Brickyard since I'm going first. Maybe I should pick T. Stewart. Boy, wouldn't that frost you if racer Joe Costello wins again with Tony Stewart?
No, I'd be happy that Tony Stewart won. I mean, be slightly annoyed that you picked him, but...
Nah, don't be happier
annoyed,
man. Happier
that Tony Stewart won the race.
You should be happy for me and just share in my glory.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
Yep. I love that quote. Brad Kay has done such a good job bringing interested regular sports fans into the process. I like it. I think it's a very interesting thing. So what do we got here on the WFO radio? Oh, look at that. We have all kinds of interested calls potentially, maybe even some from last week that came in. Look at this. This one last week was, let's see, did we use this one? I wonder.
Hey guys, it's Rich in Saugus. Was hoping to kiss you, but you know, work and all gets in the way.
We used that one.
Yeah, I think
we did. We used that one. What about, this one?
Oh yeah, that's great.
Oh boy. First call of the week.
Here they come.
WFO Radio.
Hey.
You're on the air.
WFO.
Is this the Bobby Graham?
This is the Bobby Graham.
Down in the bayou, Bobby Graham. Bobby Graham makes a show finally after all these weeks. What's up, Bobby?
I'm on the way off work just trying to get it all to the house.
There you go. You're off of work. You're on the way home. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yep. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
So what's going on in your world, Bobby Graham?
Oh, not much. We switched jobs. I'm able to kind of hire a new crew at the WFO listeners at work. So I've got another shop I'm working at. So we're training them now.
I love it. So you left your old position. First of all, your phone sounds a little sketchy. I don't know if you're on a headset or if you could do anything to adjust it, but I can make out what you're saying. But if you could improve it, that would be good. So you switch jobs. There are people at your old job who are probably listening to you right now as you try to break in a whole host of new WFO listeners. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, they could be. I don't know if they still listening or not. But I hope they are.
Did you leave amicably? Was it a nice thing? You moved on to bigger and better things, or was it? What happened?
Oh yeah, I left on good terms. I definitely left on good terms. I actually went to work for one of the ex-bosses that was there at the place. So after 18 years, I finally have a day job.
Wow! Congratulations! I love that. So now you'll have all kinds of free.
So I can get my schedule and get my money together and try to see you in Dallas again this year.
That is the plan. We've already had several WFO listeners reach out to do a big tweet up out there. I got to say, the Denver listeners were very cool, Bobby. We had a large group of people at different times. The Golden Colorado Block Party was really a special thing, and we ran into a bunch of WFO listeners, almost as many as Dallas, maybe as many as Dallas.
I listened to the show. It sounded like a great race, and I listened to the show. It sounded like you had a good time, and the track was one of those I need to put on the list to make it to.
Absolutely, you do. I 100% agreed with Alan Reinhart after I saw it in person. It's a 100% A++ facility. It's awesome. It's just, you cannot describe it. It's one of those things like, once you're there experiencing it, looking out at the beautiful mountains while at the same time watching 300 mile per hour cars, you get it. You become one with like nature and technology at the same time. It's awesome.
Well, good. It sounds good. I got someone talked into going with me to Dallas this year, so I'm going to break in another drag racer, a listener. And get him broke into going to the races. He hadn't been in forever, and he hadn't been to a national, so we're going to try to turn another one on the NHRA.
That is awesome. I'm sure the folks at NHRA will be very happy about that, and I know Billy Meyer will be very happy about it, and I'll be happy to have more people at the WFO tweet up. How cool.
That's good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to making the race, and we're going to be there all weekend. So
Dallas, baby.
Make the weekend at it.
All you listeners out there, we're already making plans for Dallas. I'm gonna go over my schedule. Obviously, I would like people to go to whatever race is close to them that they are gonna enjoy and they can get to. But might as well tell them the ones I'm gonna be at. And I'm gonna be at basically Dallas and Reading. I'm gonna be at Charlotte too. I'm gonna be at Indy and Brainerd. Those are my remaining races. So that's a lot of races. I'm looking forward to it. Did I list them all? I think I did. Well, all right.
Yep.
All right, Bobby.
I'm glad I made it. I told you I would, so there's my call, man.
Any thoughts on the Brickyard 400 NASCAR race this weekend?
I have no idea on the Brickyard. You caught me out of mind. Starting left is just not my style.
You're on the Western swing with the NHRA. I like it. Very good. All right, Bobby, thank you very much.
All right, Joe. Take care, man.
Bobby Graham from down in the bayou weighing in on the WFO Open Phone Spectacular that we're now doing every week. That's kind of cool. He's got a new job. He's got new listeners. He's got new friends. And listen, all you new people, Bobby is a great guy. He's been listening to our show for a while. Found the WFO radio show, I think, just on the internet, downloading the free mobile application for iPhone or Android. Or was it, does he listen on Stitcher or TuneIn?
No, he was prior to that.
He wasn't an XMer, though.
No.
He's a pure WFOer.
Absolutely.
He didn't come over from the satellite side, but very cool. And we are going to do the tweet up out there in Dallas, Billy Myers track, Texas Motorplex. That is going to be great. I get to work with the great Nate Hershey as well. The Western Swing is going on NHRA style, and I went to the first race, but not the next two. Turns out we have got a big WFO following out there in Seattle as well. At Pacific Raceways, the folks from the track, they actually play the show at the track over the PA, sometimes during oil downs and such.
Wow.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yes. And so we're going to work with them as well. Oh, here we got another call coming in. WFO, you're on the air. Hello.
Joe.
Tim.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good, WFO. I got the push notification. My first time calling in.
Oh man, we're unprepared. We should have some sort of sound effect. Giovanni, play something. We don't have a sound effect for a first time caller.
Yeah, we do. Here we go.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
Excellent.
Thanks, Brad Jr.
There you go. So what's up, Tim? What do you got today?
Not much. I just thought I'd call in, enjoying the show. I suck in the fantasy. That is me, Mattitude 20, that you is falling rapidly.
You are Mattitude. Okay. See, no results this week, but I can definitely check in on your failures.
You don't need to.
No, really. We'll do it just to see how it... just to see, point of reference. Last week, we had Hockenstuff come in for the first time in weeks, and it turned out he had won the week. And
yeah,
so,
like 393 or something incredible.
Yes, and I forgot to set my team and whatever. You know, that's how it works. Okay, I'm scrolling down. You're not in the top 10.
You're not in
the top 20.
Oh, no.
And you're not in the top 30.
I saw him there. He's 51.
You're not in the top 40.
I'm ahead of Joe.
Down 10, though. You're in free fall, and I'm ascending. I was up 7. And this week.
Yeah, well, in the beginning, I was like 11th and I couldn't even get any love. And now I'm falling and falling and falling.
I remember saying Mattitude many times.
Just giving you a hard time.
Yes. You're losing Maltitude.
But it's much cooler to talk about people when they're failing.
Yes. Failures are much more fun.
That is very true.
Like Hockey Kid, who's down 16.
Yes. We're waiting for the hippie to drop.
Keep waiting for that one.
Yeah, I know. I realize that.
Don't hold your breath.
So is that what we're all secretly rooting for, a massive flame out by the Dirty Hippies?
Well, yes.
I didn't think I was the only one.
Of course not.
Can't we just be happy and root for his great success every single year?
Nope.
Nope. I agree.
That's like rooting for Jimmy Johnson.
I'm on your side, Rich. Don't believe these guys. I'm with you. You and Amy out there. And you know, it's Mrs. Dirty Hippie's birthday. Did you guys know that?
Happy birthday, nope. Mrs. Hippie.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Had a birthday the other day. Okay, what about the John Wayne Walding 400 at the Brickyard? What are your thoughts as we get ready to go 17 straight races?
Incredible event. I've been there once. Is one of the most boring races to attend or watch on TV, but it still has a lot of prestige.
There you go. that's giving it exactly as you see it. But what about the new scoring pylon? What about that? That's really going to juice it up.
Sure. If you can see it.
Well, they put a new scoring pylon at the Brickyard.
Yeah, I saw the photos of it, but I think the only people that can see it are on the front stretch.
Yeah. Well, of course. And those of us watching on television when they show it.
Yeah. They say, watch out. Here comes Montoya.
Kind of seems like a, I don't know. I don't want to say call it a waste, but as you said, what are we doing with this thing?
I mean, it's nice. And like you said, we'll be able to see it on television, but that's about it. Are you going to be in Kansas City for the drags?
Kansas City?
Yes.
We already went through.
With
Topeka.
Yeah, that's already happened, though.
That already happened?
Yeah, Topeka happened a couple of weeks back. Now, we head to that. We head to St. Louis, which is not to Gateway, which is a little south of that area, but I'm not going to that one. My race is Bobby Graham just called in. My schedule is as such. I'm going to Brainerd next, then Indy, then Charlotte, then Dallas, then Reading. And that's it. I'm done. Dunsky.
So. And you'll be watching from afar.
Yes, but I'll tell you what. I'm traveling just as much as I can handle right now. I think any more. Alan Reinhardt is a maniac. I don't see how he does it. Like these people who are traveling literally every single week and living out of a suitcase. It's difficult.
That's very true. Well, I'll let you guys go. Great show. WFO, guys.
Tim, thank you very much. Thanks for calling in on our open phone spectacular. Isn't this great? That's exactly. See, first-time listener, I knew you'd be into this. I knew it. I just had this big feeling. All right, just so everybody understands, this one from IndyCar.com, Dave Lewandowski, who is actually a very nice guy, and Arnie Schrieben. You remember Arnie?
Yes.
Arnie contributed to this article. The new scoring pylon at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is bigger, bolder, brighter, and a lot more flexible than its predecessor thanks to technological advancements. Think a horizontal video ribbon board in arenas turned on its side. Now, see, at Homestead Miami Speedway, we already have this. Maybe that's why I'm not freaking out about it. You know, our pylon.
Correct.
It's a video screen is basically what it is. And it's like Jimmy Johnson, and it's up and down, and it's all crazy and whatnot.
Yeah, it's got the big video screen on the top, and then it has the rotating order.
It's great. It's great.
It's all right.
The new pylon, a few yards south of the Yard of Brick start-finish line on the 2.5-mile oval, was unveiled July 22nd. Manufactured by Panasonic, it features full LED panels on all four sides with multiple messaging, animation, and video capabilities.
That was yesterday.
Yes, it was. The one before today. Each side can be operated independently. We talked about putting it in for the Indianapolis 500 this year, but postponed it because we wanted to take advantage of a technology leap, says Doug Bowles, the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Bowles said the steel frame of the former scoring pylon installed in 1994 and the wiring will be recycled. Well, that's very, very nice. That's a very green statement. The numbers and light bulbs have been saved, and Bowles said plans are being formulated to offer both for sale to the public. There were 6,496 30-watt bulbs in the former pylon, which possibly would make keepsake Christmas tree ornaments. The new I love repurposing things. I have this thing that I do called Kifa, keep everything forever always, and you can repurpose things for lots of other stuff. Like, look at this plastic thing here. I have no idea what this came from, but Giovanni uses it to raise up his computer so it gets air underneath. Kifa.
I know what that came from some Tupperware.
Like a plastic bin. It's been repurposed. The new pylon stands 92 feet 2 inches, almost 2 feet taller than the former tower, and includes 5,220 LED panels.
Woo!
Nobody has one this tall, says Bowles. If you look at Homestead Miami Speedway and some of the other tracks, they'll run the top 10 and maybe a few at the bottom. It allows us to generate more information for fans and their seats, what's going on in the racetrack. I think the fans will see that we've paid close attention to our tradition, but we'll give them a whole new experience at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The original pylon was 78 feet tall and featured the scoring position of the 33 cars, et cetera, and so on. Interesting. Okay, I won't call it a waste. I will call it a great capital investment.
Yeah, anything to better the fan experience.
But like what Tim says.
Yeah, if you're on the backstretch, but what happened?
It's got all four. So if you're looking from turn four, you can see it. If you're in turn one, you can see it. If you're in the media center, you can see it. And if you're out in the field somewhere at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, you should have done got a better ticket. Because that's just your own fault. But I think it's cool. I love screens. My opinion, that's what drag racing is missing. That is what drag racing is missing. And you know what? Bandimir Speedway had their own version of one. And it's not, I wouldn't call it the most high tech, but I will say it was great. It had a picture of each driver, their face, Eddie Krawick versus Andrew Hines, video commercials, that kind of stuff.
I got a quick question, maybe pertaining to that. What was up with the air conditioners in the first, 300-400 feet, 600 feet maybe?
They're track cooling devices.
Air conditioner, right?
No. Water conditioner.
For what, underneath the track? Or what?
Yeah, it's what it is.
I mean, obviously it's not misting the track.
No. It's just like a radiator. Or a transmission cooler.
And so what's that? The cars don't spin out in those first 500-600 feet?
Well, what happens is the hotter the track condition, the more slippery it is. And so they poured the concrete, and in the concrete is, I believe, PVC, thick PVC pipe. And there's one and another, and they just connect them just like a radiator. You know, they go back and forth, and they take water, and they put it in these giant industrial chillers, and the water goes from the chiller into the track. Maybe it goes the opposite way, but there's a tank, a giant, 6,000-gallon tank. The chiller fills the tank, pump the water from the tank through the pipes in the track, which pull heat from the concrete, and then the water comes back out of the track into the chillers to displace the heat. And so when the sun, and it was really hot, that's one thing that I did not quite understand.
Well, you're closer to the sun.
It must be it. When you're a mile high, you're a mile closer to the sun, and it's really, really hot. Radiation is blasting you. I got sunburn even though I had sunblock on. The sunblock that has worked at every other racetrack, this one it did not. I was burned. You're closer to the sun.
Just
yeah.
Makes sense.
Like mercury. I felt like I was on mercury. It was brutal. I was dehydrated and could feel my cells withering.
You could feel yourself drying up?
Yes. Those people who say about the dry heat and, I couldn't hang in Florida, it's too hot. Folks, it never gets that hot here. Never. Never that feeling.
Wow. It,
never. In South Florida, you feel, oh my gosh, it's so hot. I can feel something growing on me. Yeah, some sort of moisture and some sort of bacteria or something is growing. Something is coming alive on my skin.
It's sauna type hot. That
right.
Is wet, moist, hot.
Wet, moist, humidity. Right, but things grow in that environment. That environment causes life to begin. The environment out there causes life to end. You can feel things dying on you, and you feel your cells dying. Walking around the Red Rocks. So they installed this cooling system, and originally it was 120 feet. This year they doubled it to 300 feet. And obviously it worked exceptionally well because the ETs were fantastic records in just about every class. What they really need to do
is go all the way down the track.
Go all the way down the track. Obviously it costs a lot of money, but you saw in qualifying tire smoke was happening.
I'm sure at the transition.
At the transition. With the chillers, it was still 120 degrees track temperature in the heat of the day.
Wow.
Think about that.
Yeah, no, it never gets that hot down here, I'll tell you that much.
Well, the track surface. Who knows what the surface of the road is out there, but I don't think that hot ever. We have the beautiful ocean breeze.
Can you see the breeze?
The jet stream. No?
All right. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. Whatever.
And yet, Juan Montoya is selling his Miami apartment.
I'm sure it's one of.
NASCAR Kart, Indy Racing League, and Formula One
a condo.
Racing sensation Juan Pablo Montoya is selling his posh brickle six-bedroom, six-and-a-half-bath Miami penthouse, which overlooks the Atlantic Ocean and Biscayne Bay. For how much is that going for there, Gio? Stand by. Did you read this already?
No, but I know.
Well, we'll see. We're going to test you. The extraordinary home, which comes with more cachet than an American Express Centurion card. See, I don't even know what that is. The Centurion card. Is that like the black?
No, I think the black card is the black card.
So is Centurion better than that? Put that on Gio's tools. 6,500 square feet is perched atop one of Miami's most exclusive addresses. There are resplendent marble floors, the perfect complement to the searing Florida heat and floor-to-ceiling windows that encompass the whole first floor. Every corner of this luxurious home captures views of the crystalline water below and includes every possible artisan touch. Though it's a penthouse of the utmost in style and museum-like elegance, it's still a comfortable home for even the smallest of children. Montoya's two young daughters have their own pink and lace retreat tucked neatly away in the home's private recesses. This is from Realtor.com. All right, Giovanni in Miami, the Realtor. Brickle?
Do you have the address?
Put this in the MLS.
I'm not going to put it in the MLS. You know it makes a difference which building is which. But if it's the penthouse.
One of Miami's most exclusive addresses.
And for all we know, it's probably like the whole, you know, there's probably two or three or maybe only four units way up there.
6,500 square feet and it's two stories. 6,500 square feet.
I mean, that's bigger than a house. That's
million. Like three houses.
Like 10 mil and up maybe.
Okay, is that your final?
10 million.
Final guess?
10 million.
You want to phone a friend?
I'm not phoning a friend. I mean, it all depends on what building. But those buildings, they're all millions and up. And that sounds like if it's really exclusive, it might be up to 12 or 13.
$14 million.
Yeah, and that's the asking price, and somebody will take it for 13.
There. Yeah, we'll talk them down. If anybody is interested, let us know.
But I'll tell you about that apartment. It's not the $14 million that'll get you. It's probably the monthly maintenance fee to live there.
Oh, what do you think
it is?
Like 50 grand.
At what it is.
50 grand a month.
No, but probably 20. 10 grand. Easily.
Easily. But it is a very nice
area.
Like
some of those buildings, like the on the South Beach and.
But they're gorgeous, though. That is, come on, it's one of the nicest places on the planet. So there you go, Juan Montoya. Congratulations on your great success. All right, when we come back, we'll make do fantasy talk a little Formula One. And then we'll do our picks.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And any other interesting stuff, the phones are still open. This has been a rousing success here on the show. I don't know what that means.
Holly.
Oh, yeah. No, I know about that. Frank Holly's Drag Racing School. Come on. One of our great sponsors here on the show. Open a browser, folks. If you're new to WFO, if you're a first-time listener, or if you're a long-time listener, don't think that this one is not for you. Because the Dragster Adventure starts at $399. I know what you're thinking. Oh, that's $400, man. That's a lot of money. But, yes, it is. But not for what you're getting. You are getting an experience of a lifetime, something that you will literally be talking about for a long, long time, probably ever, because you cannot duplicate it. It's not something you can do. You can go on a road course. You can rent a go-kart. You can do these kind of things. But the brute acceleration of a dragster, you just can't do it. The facility, it's just not available. The competitive environment, where do you get that? Where you're actually going up against other people if you so choose. Check it out. Go to frankhawley.com or give him a call, 866-480-7223. Maybe you own a business. Maybe you've got a sales team. Maybe you've got some guys. Maybe you and the fam want to get out there and do something together that you will really remember for a lifetime, because you'll be talking about it. Dad, remember that time we did the Dragster Adventure and I whooped all y'all? That is the type of thing we're talking about. 866-480-7223. Now, you might be a bracket racer. You might want to get a license. You might want to go through a super comp or super gas class. They do that as well. But I really think the outreach is for group events, exciting corporate events, media day, ride and drive. They do all of it. Go to frankhawley.com to find out more. And in fact, I believe they will be in Norwalk tomorrow. If you're listening tomorrow, it's today. If you're listening on Friday, it was yesterday. You blew it. But you got to go to the website and check out frankhawley.com to find out more. They've got the Dragster Adventure in Reading, Pennsylvania. Here's one. Reading, September 5th. Dragster Adventure coming to Reading.
Sounds like Labor Day weekend or around there.
The Reading Railroad. Check it out. frankhawley.com and tell them you heard it here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, everybody. The summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
WFO Radio is worldwide. Racing fans from 51 countries and 6 continents have signed on to the best racing show in the world, WFORadio.com.
WFO Radio. It is an open phone spectacular. We've been doing this lately. If you're new to the show, you call in. You have no idea what we're talking about. We have no idea what you want. And we put you on the air like this guy. WFO, you're on the air. Hello.
This is Craig from Seattle.
Northwest Nitro Fanatics checking in. What's up, Craig?
That's right. And I have no idea what you guys have been talking to about, but have you delved into the Eric Enders deal?
No, we did not. I talked about it a little bit on Nitro with Alan Reinhart, which we recorded in the Winner's Circle. But no, Alan was not 100% certain that they would not be showing up in Sonoma or Seattle. I just take them at their word. For those that do not know, Erica Enders, who is leading the points in NHRA Pro Stock, her team has elected to skip the next two races because they feel like the next two races can be better spent preparing for the countdown. the run to the championship. And the reason I was given was that they don't have a shop crew. They have their crew, and their crew works in the shop, and their crew works on the road, both. And their guys are, like, worn out, and they're going to go back and kind of reset and freshen up their stuff and get ready for the run to the championship. If that's the case, it has to do a little bit with finances. It has to do with all of those things. If that's true and they're making that call, you just got to see how it works out. If they lose the points lead and then lose the championship by the initial difference from first to second, they will be second guessed.
Right. And I understand all the reasons why they're doing it. I totally get it. And I understand. I'm not even putting the blame on Erica because she's a racer. If she had her druthers, I know she'd be out here racing. But and out here in Seattle, Joe, don't get me wrong, we're used to short fields. We only have 272 cars entered into our race. We only got six cars in comp. I don't even know why they're bothering running that class through our race. But, you know, it didn't used to be that way in Seattle, but that's the way it is now. But my problem is I've never heard of a team in a racing format that's holding out their top team for two races. I think it sends the wrong message to Sonoma and Seattle that your race is not as important to us. I know that's not the message they're putting out there. I know that's not what they want to put out there. But that's the way a lot of people are going to take it in Sonoma and Seattle, rightly or wrongly. That's just my opinion.
Well, I can't disagree with that in any way. And I will take you a step further. Recently, I have found out that we have got a lot of WFO listeners and supporters up there in addition to you. And I was having him and his crew. What are you laughing at? You're not the only guy out there. We got another one. That makes two of you. But imagine you're trying to sell tickets to the race. Imagine you're trying to create media hype. And all of a sudden, the winningest female, the only female to ever win a pro stock race, the girl who had a Disney movie made about her life, is not showing up. That's
one of the most popular drivers out there.
That's not a good thing.
She's a draw.
She is a draw, and her pulling out of the race, that is a problem. I don't know how to fix it because the NHRA format, this is one of the downsides to it being an open meet, meaning if you can't afford to make every race, you can skip some, but then that weakens the field for those races. You guys are not going to get to see Erica Ender's race. That's a bummer for you.
And it's their right to do. I mean, I could say, hey, I've seen her at the Winter Nationals. I've seen her in Chicago. But I know for a fact, you just go around her trailer, just like the Force girls. How many little girls do you see at the back of her trailer? And, you know, and they're not going to get to see her. And like I said, I'm not putting the blame on Erica. I just think it sends the wrong message out there. I mean, Larry Morgan, I mean, how big of a crew does he have? You would know more than me. I mean, I can't imagine it's much bigger than Erica's. Maybe it is. I don't know. But
Morgan, I don't know the number, but I know he's doing it. He said it flat out. We're doing it, but it's not like the right way to do it.
Right. And I just, you know, hey, Seattle is what it is. It's our track. We support it. Sometimes we feel like out here, and like I said, it didn't used to be this way back in the day. Sometimes we feel like some of the teams come up here because they're told to come up here. You know, whether that's the fact, whether that's true or not, who knows. But
from what I understand, and this is my general perception of Pacific Raceways, is that it was on an island for many, many years, meaning in the middle of nowhere, the only track up there, the only motorsport up there, and that it was beloved, but then kind of fell into a negative thing and started to kind of go downhill, but now is on the ascent once again, and that the people there are really trying and making effort with what they have and what they can do to elevate this event back to what it once was or into new heights. I hope they can do it. I want to support them and help.
Well, I can tell you firsthand, and so can my buddy James that you met in Chicago, they are making a big effort, and it's tough. When it goes down as far as it did, it's tough to get it back up where you want to go. Before I go, Joe.
Sure.
Can I get your opinion on Comp Eliminator? Because in Sonoma, their quota is 36. They only got 19 cars entered there. Here, they only got six. Is it? And I love comp eliminator. It's my favorite class out there behind alcohol and the nitro cars. Is it time to maybe get rid of that class and just go top sportsman only? I mean, because top sportsman seems like every time they're entered into an event, there's a lot of cars for that class.
Craig, I have to say this.
I know that's not going to be popular.
I actually have this note here that says it's from NHRA. And it says that if any of your listeners ever say what you just said, you are officially excommunicated from NHRA fandom. You are not allowed to say what you just said.
I know. Hey, well, that's my favorite class, Joe.
Your unique IP address has been noted, and you will be banned from downloading the stream. You are not. Listen, folks, if you want to prove to someone that you're a hardcore NHRA fan, you say Comp Eliminator is your favorite class. I agree with you. I enjoy Comp Eliminator, too. I understand it. I have trouble doing the math in my head immediately as it happens, but I love the diversity of machinery there. And I feel like it is the last bastion of wide open, mechanical, innovative drag racing. That having been said, the fans have no idea what the heck is going on. They have no idea. I'm sorry. I am a lifelong fan, and I have a general concept of what's going on, and I get it. But the nuanced details to what's going on behind the scenes, I think David Rampey knows and Scotty Richardson knows and those guys know, but it's very nuanced. They call it Comp Eliminator, standing for complicated. Two, that I didn't make that up. Two, the car counts are way, way, way down. And so at some point you have to say to those guys, I think maybe I'm with you. At very least, I'm entertaining the idea. You got top sportsman cars and pro modified cars all over the country. These people want to race. They're not cutting.
They're awesome machines too.
They are awesome machines. But here's what happens in Competition Eliminator. Okay, ready? There's a guy who wanted to run a four-cylinder engine, and he saw that the cylinder head on a small block Chevrolet engine flows way better than any cylinder head on a four-cylinder engine. So what he did was he ordered a General Motors small block Chevrolet from the factory catalog, and he cut it in half. And he machined it in half, and then he had half of a V8. And so what he did was
he went to
a crankshaft maker and said, all right, we need to make a crankshaft now for this half of a V8 that's going to work. And he basically created a four-cylinder engine for his Comp Eliminator car.
That's
now
really
that,
cool.
Right, to be in a class with 20 other cars. It's incredible innovation, but it's also outrageously expensive. And at some point, you got to say to yourself, and again, this is blasphemy. I'm going to be excommunicated, just like you. What's the point?
Hey, before I got to go because I'm at work here. I'm sorry.
Corporate time stealing weasel. Go ahead.
I could talk all day with you, but before last week, I might have sounded like I was bashing my track, and that's the last thing. We support our track. We just want them to do well. You know, when I made that comment about Woodburn Drag Strip, the only reason I made that comment is because we go there like 6 to 7 times a summer versus maybe twice at our track, and that sucks.
Craig, don't worry.
The race place is 10 minutes away versus 3.5 hours.
They already reached out to me about your call, and they're not taking it personally.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be there all 3 days for the race next week, and we're going to support him, and hopefully it'll be a good race. So let me chat with you guys. WFO.
Wear your WFO gear, please. Thank you.
Oh, we will.
There he is, Craig in Seattle, weighing in. How about that? A call about Competition Eliminator on the Ignition Show. The NASCAR fans, they're like, this is why I like NASCAR, because it's not complicated. Green flag, follow that number, watch the number, and see which numbers come in front of it when the checker flag comes out. That's easy. Comp Eliminator is really, really nuanced. Don't get me wrong. If you're into engineering, it's your favorite class, period. What I just described about the V8 cut in half, it's so cool, right? Mike English would say, it's bitchin'. It's bitching. It is cool. But at some point, there's only so many people who are investing the time, money, and effort to do it. While at the same time, you have all these other classes, like these Outlaw 10-5 guys that you see the videos on Facebook. I'm sure you guys see them. Like, what is it? Hillbilly Nation or something? I don't know. All I know is there's a Mustang on 10-5 tires blowing over backwards every other day. Crazy stuff happening. Outrageous things happening. I'm sorry, because this is probably going to be my last show after I'm excommunicated as an NHRA fan. You know?
They're going to send you to Siberia.
The word from Il Papa is going to come down.
Ay, Papa Juan Pablo.
I know. Maybe we can, maybe we'll have to edit that conversation out. Just so we don't get in trouble. Nah, we won't get in trouble. It's not like that. But cool that the Open Phone Spectacular is going well. If you're a WFO listener and in the future, you want to be on the Open Phone Spectacular, you have to just be alive. And when the push notification or the tweet comes out on the WFO app, you call. Simple as that. And we don't know what you want. You don't know what we're talking about. And that's what makes it fun, kind of. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
It's great.
Let's listen.
Isn't this great?
Wherever you are, act like it's the place to be.
Isn't this great?
That's all I have to say. All right, let's do fantasy stuff. Because we're getting ready for the John Wayne Walding 400.
Yeah, and I'm not going to wait till the end, all right? This guy deserves his time now, not at the very end.
Okay.
United States Army veteran.
I knew it.
32 years old. He's from Texas. He served in the Army for 12 years, seven of those being in the 3rd Special Forces Group, tours in Afghanistan, Iraq, and he was involved in a fight overseas in 08. Capturing a high-value target, and he was wounded and lost part of his lower left.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that I sensed it.
But he recovered from his injury, and he is the first amputee to graduate from the Special Forces School. And he
even completed
the 09 Boston Marathon, an Army 10-miler, and...
Oh, we definitely lost all the listeners right as I said that there was potential for humor. As soon as I said John Wayne Bobbitt, it was over. We're doing the show for ourselves. Hey, folks, I'm sorry. I know. I knew it. I knew that this guy, it used to just be a contest winner.
Right, no.
And
but in this particular one, I believe
that he's like the greatest American hero.
They had a contest, not a contest, but yeah, I guess in essence it's a contest, a raffle, where people called in and nominated their hero, and they chose between 5, 6, 10, whatever, what have you.
Well, clearly this guy's the guy to win. John Wayne Walding.
Yes, and he won.
The John Wayne Walding 400 at the Brickyard. I'm totally calling it that.
Okay, and so we apologize for making the reference to Bobbitt.
Hey, I'm sorry. We didn't know. At the moment, we didn't know, obviously. We're
well,
very
we could have made it to, hey, Pilgrim.
Could have. You know, Guns of Navarone.
I'm a race car in the red.
You know, I don't know what to say. I feel bad.
That's it. No,
but
we didn't do anything.
We didn't
that was
go
outrageous.
Anywhere.
We just made the reference to Bobbitt. That's
just
it.
The fact that we should have had the homework done about this guy.
I think, you know what, deep down inside, we both knew it.
Probably. I'm going to go with that. I like that. Now, time for our WFO fantasy report from Rich York of the Dirty Hippies, whose wife he's put her through the ringer for the past 2 years. Two children, fantasy league. It's her birthday. So I want to wish Mrs. Dirty Hippies a happy birthday on their old-time radio that they're sitting in front of. They have an old-time wooden radio, and they are sitting there.
Huddled around the fireplace.
There is a candle lit, probably, and they are thinking to themselves, like, wow, you know, this life is just so great. It's a wonderful life is what they're thinking to themselves as the family is around and everything is just so happy. It is fantastic that Mrs. Rich York and Rich are together for her birthday. Happy birthday, Mrs. Dirty Hippies. There you have it.
One day closer to death.
I just don't like the way that sounds. It's so negative. Negative stuff, man.
The birthday
negative.
Song is a song about death.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
How's it a song about death? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mrs. Dirty Hippies. Happy birthday to you. Where's the...
Because every year we're getting older.
Yeah.
Dying a little bit every day.
You never know when it's your time.
That's right. That's the whole point.
Let's see what the fantasy tip of the week is by Mr. Dirty Hippies.
This is Dirty Hippies with your tip of the week. I really, really hate the road courses in the IRL, especially the ones that they do in the city. However, Toronto really liked that track. They made it really like a regular road course that you see at maybe like Montreal. It's nice, it's spacious, there's room to pass. So the rest of the guys like Long Beach, I mean, just listen up. I mean, that's what the people want to see. They want to see passing. They don't want to see just people falling around. So follow suit. F1, however, that track they were at, I couldn't believe how narrow that track was. It was amazing, but those guys made it work. I mean, the Mercedes guys are just insane. I mean, I don't understand how Hamilton can just breeze through everybody with no problem and get all the way to third. They really need to put a parachute on that guy's car, at least, both of them. This week, going to Indianapolis, big track. I'm sure you guys have forgotten, but remember to change your teams first and foremost. A couple of the guys really good on the flat tracks, Menard, Hamlin, and McMurray for the B's. And once again, you got some guys on your C team that usually aren't there, Trevor Bain and JP Montana. So you can save Dylan and you can save Larson. It's Dirty Hippies, and that's your tip of the week.
Wow, I like his points. I like Rich York's point. He sounded weird. He sounded sick. He sounded a little more nasally than in the past.
Well, he's hiding under the desk.
He is, maybe. I really don't know what to say about that. About the IndyCar stuff, though, I can't say that I saw the racing.
Oh, I did. It came on right after the Formula One race on CNBC.
Okay.
And they did that first race, which was rained out from Saturday. I thought it was pretty interesting. TK, he seems to be running up front every week now. But he can't pull the trigger on a win. But I got to agree with the hippie. The passing in IndyCar is so – it just makes the races so worth watching. There's passing up and down the field. Completely unlike what we're watching in Formula One where – what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, a month ago, I just said I'm complaining about the fact that we're really just watching to see if one of the Mercedes is going to break.
Right. Interesting. Well, the first race was won by Sebastian Bourdais, followed by Helio Castroneves and Tony Kanaan.
Yeah, I told you, TK's been running up front every week.
Which is great, and he's even in part of a new commercial campaign by Target and Charmin, which I was made aware of.
I don't think it was Charmin.
Cottonelle.
Yeah, there you go.
Cottonelle.
It was something else. My, the one I sent you?
My mishtook, yeah.
But it wasn't TK that I sent you.
No, it was Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
But they're both.
Well, they're both Target drivers. It's a Chip Ganassi thing.
And it's very interesting the way that this thing goes down. Listen to this.
Do you think about it a lot? Do you wake up in the morning and think, how can I give my bum some love? Or do you neglect it, honestly?
I don't know.
I'm hearing from you that you kind of neglect your bum.
I wouldn't say I neglect it.
Do you have good toilet paper?
Yeah, I use Cottonelle.
Yeah?
Wiper? I'm a dry wiper right now.
Yeah, I used to be a dry wiper. So I do a kind of dry, wet, dry thing.
I'm excited. I can't wait to have to use the bathroom and try it out.
Cottonelle available at Target. I find that to be so funny.
Oh, that's got to be right up there with the Extends and some of those other famous Viagra, was it? NASCAR sponsorships?
Yeah, but this one is like really going after the comedy really bad. Like, I love hearing Kyle Larson
dry,
say,
wet, dry.
I can't wait to have to go to the bathroom so I can try
it out.
I
know. I saw that, and I find it laughable, but it's also at the same time, it makes me cringe for poor Kyle having to make that spot there.
See, I think that's what makes you popular. Personally, I think that's what makes you popular. Now, there's another one with TK and Scott Dixon, which the bathroom crew is what it's called.
How important is the pit crew?
Could you imagine coming in and having to get out of the car, change your four tires?
We can't do the job alone.
Are you quite careful to kind of give them praise?
We never say, I won. We.
I feel like that about these two, my pit crew. Have you tried this toilet paper with the wipes?
No, I have not. Yeah. I'm going to go to this first, and then I'm going to work my way into this.
I'm ready to go, and so is my pit crew.
Cottonelle available at Target. But I think it's something that they're pushing something there. They're pushing these wipes. Do you notice that?
I did pick up on that.
That's what this is all about. It's like a moist towelette for your bum. Which I have to say,
would that be considered toilet humor?
Moist towelette for your bum? Like this whole segment? I think it is. I think the whole thing is. The whole campaign is all toilet humor. Yes. But I think that I like the idea of the moist towelette. There's people that I know that you currently have tubs
baby wipes.
Baby wipes.
Yep. The Huggies brand too, because those other non.
I use
Huggies
the generic.
No,
Publix.
Those are crap.
Well.
No pun intended.
They're cheaper, man.
No, but they're not the same. It's just it's severely the difference in quality. The Huggies are the best. The Pampers, all those other brands. Look, believe me, I just went through this stuff with the Huggies brand when it comes to the wipes.
What is this?
Not the Publix.
Raising Arizona?
Look, whatever you want. I'll tell you, on diapers, we used to go with the generic one because they were the ones from, as a matter of fact, the ones from Target.
Yes.
Were the ones that held out the best.
Well, here's someone who will know. He's out there on the WFO line. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, DBs.
Well, if it isn't...
Hey, if it isn't my favorite Massengill man.
The Dirty Hippies have called in live.
I'm taped to live and live.
Well, we just played the tape.
We just
live.
Heard you. All right, just so I don't...
Did you pay attention this week, or did you just kind of blow it off and take a whiz like you usually do every week?
Well, look, I always take notes and write down who it is that you picked for reference purposes, but I do not... use your picks because I see what you do. You kind of have those guys there on your preliminary team, but those aren't the guys you use because you don't want to have the same team as everybody else.
That's right, the fake picks.
So I understand what you're
doing. What you're doing.
Strategery.
Yes, it is strategery. Okay, how long do you have so we don't get you in trouble at your workplace?
I have as long as I have.
Okay, so you might have to go at any moment.
15 seconds, it could be 3 minutes.
Okay, well, if you have to go, obviously let us know. Don't just hang up in our face.
Can I hang up on Geospace?
No. I mean,
no, I'll be honest with you. Not a lot of things in life bother me, but when people like hang up on me like that, like in anger, I mean, no, of course, if you just had to go, I know that, but that anger hanging up like that, you're just arguing with someone and they just hang up the phone. Oh, man, there's a few things in life that rattle my cage like that.
Oh, but see, you shouldn't really tell everybody the big thing that bothers
you. No, because I'm not going to get into a fight with any of these people.
Rich is going to hang up in our face right now just to get you.
No, I just find it to be extremely rude. Like,
you know. So, Rich, you enjoyed the IndyCar race. You did not like the Formula One race.
No, I did enjoy the Formula One race. I just found it amazing how narrow the track was. I mean, it looked like there was only room for... about 1.5 cars. Every F1 track we see is so wide. I mean, there's so much room for passing and, you know, going out. I mean, there was no room for error there. But I was pretty impressed with the Toronto layout. Usually I'm not, I just can't stand the different city road courses because they're just narrow and there's nowhere to pass. And pretty much once you start off, that's where you finish.
Very interesting. I had to be very honest that I was at the track doing NHRA stuff, so I did not get to take in large portions of the IndyCar race. And we were, frankly, as an NHRA employee at the time, trying to beat them in the ratings because they were going head-to-head. They were on while we were on live for the same part. But that having been said, it sounds like there have been quite a few pretty interesting IndyCar races so far this year. And looking at the points, Elio Castroneves finds himself in the points lead yet again.
I do not like how he's been racing. He's been racing way too safe. He's letting everybody kind of pass. He's not trying to take advantage of anybody and kind of put the nail in the coffin. When it was raining there this weekend, they were all taking kind of a go-kart line around the concrete so to give him more grip. And every time somebody come up near him, he would just let him go. And he lost all sorts of points.
Well, he's making a calculated move, I guess, to try to win the title and just being Mr. Consistency. And right now he's in position to win. Mike Conway, what was it? He ended up winning the – who won the second race?
I think Conway won the second
race. Conway won the second race. But here on the – what's it called? Inside the box score, it says he won race one. They have two guys winning race one.
No,
Sebastian Bourdais and Mike Conway.
One. Right. Bourdais won race one.
There it is.
And Elio came in second.
And Elio ended up getting a top three finish as well in the second race. I got to say, IndyCar.com makes it very, very hard to find information. Now, what about Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton?
Lewis. How about Lewis dicing through that field? I was telling Joe he was up to 10th, 11 laps in.
I mean,
unbelievable,
saw,
right?
Yeah,
Rich?
Like you said, you saw three laps, and he was already through everybody. And I don't know what they're going to do. I hope. I don't know. I'm a little disappointed in Williams. I think they have the same type of capabilities, and they should be doing a lot better than they are this year.
I don't know. I think they're having best results they've had in years and years and years. Come on, Bottas, second.
Rich, I understand what you're saying, that they should be, that we're hoping somebody can compete with the Mercedes, but I got to agree with Joe on this one. Williams is doing better than they've done almost forever.
They're
in 20
doing
years.
Backflips and cartwheels and all kinds of crazy stuff is going on there.
Guys
Valtteri
are on the
Bottas.
Podium, and they've got guys qualifying up front.
Imagine if they had someone other than Felipe Massa doing the driving.
They had a real driver.
Right. Who the heck is Valtteri Bottas?
Take him out.
All right. Let's not waste.
At some point, luck is what you make it.
Let's not waste Rich's.
You have one more question, so make it a good one.
Okay. At the start of the show, we talked about Brad Keselowski as one of the greatest ambassadors to NASCAR racing and his willingness to go on sports radio shows and do crossover talk with stick and ball fans. You worked directly with Brad for a while. Give us some insight into his character and why is he so able to go on like Mike and Mike and all these shows and draw in the casual sports fan into the racing community. Go.
I'm pretty sure it comes directly from his parents, how hard they worked. I mean, his dad was, he'd go to the track every week and he wouldn't have the big sponsors and he'd just kind of go there and make his living and work on his own cars. And I think that hard work, kind of got put into him at an early age. And I think he got out of the box a little bit, when he won that championship, but I think he's kind of reeled it back in where he understands where he needs to be in his life.
I don't know, man, but all that stuff is great and all, but that doesn't make you good at it. You can work real hard and still stink. There's a lot of drivers, like, let's talk Jimmy Johnson for a minute. Not that he's awful, but after championship number six, they're like, wow, what's it like? He's like, I can't even think of the words. It's like, come on, man. You should have figured it out by the fifth championship. What to tell us here? The media savvy side of it.
Did you want me to just answer? I think I compare him to Carrot Top, and I think he's a great comedian.
Carrot
he's
Top?
He's got that natural knack.
Carrot Top is not a great comedian. You take that back.
No, I will not take it back.
You love Carrot Top?
No, I don't like Carrot Top. That's just the only one I could. I was staring at a red marker here. So
who's your favorite stand-up comedian?
I would have to.
Of all time.
Lewis Black.
Okay.
Really?
He's very funny.
Yeah,
he's very,
he is funny.
He's very comedic. I liked him.
Well, I'll go old school with you. Of all time, I'll have to say, because I grew up watching this and hearing this tape, the cassette.
What,
Eddie Murphy.
How do you not say Eddie Murphy?
Eddie
how do you not say, how about Rodney?
Richard.
What about Rodney?
Yeah.
Rodney was hysterical.
But I gotta say, I always think of Rodney more of the characters from the movies.
Yeah.
Him doing his stand-up.
No, Eddie Murphy.
But Carlin was hilarious.
George Carlin is outrageously great.
You know, you want to go
way.
Bill Cosby.
I got to run, guys.
All right, bye,
there
Rich.
He is,
thank
Rich.
You.
Thank
happy,
you for starting this.
Happy belated birthday to my beautiful wife. 35 years, really 21. So,
dude, you're not supposed to say how old she is.
Yeah, that's we gave her a very heartfelt birthday message as well, and wish you a very successful and happy birthday for Mrs. Dirty Hippies as well.
How are all the girls, Rich?
Yeah, how's the whole thing? The whole team.
They're all healthy. They're eating. They're sleeping. They're great. So we're all doing well.
Isn't that all we care about when they're little? That they're eating, sleeping, and pooping okay.
Hey, as long as they're healthy, right?
Yes, sir.
There it is.
All right.
Take it easy,
y'all,
Rich. Good talking to you.
All right, Rich. There he goes. Rich York.
Hey, Gio.
Yes.
Wow.
You see that? I can't help but laugh. No, I mean it actually like in actual anger, like when someone hangs up the phone on you in anger.
You've been gotten.
Yeah, but that doesn't bother me.
No, that's funny. That Rich goes out of his way to come up with that
that was funny.
Comedy. It happens. You see that first time listener, that's the kind
that
of thing.
Funny.
There goes Rich, you know. There's
he has a wife, you know.
Rich and Mrs. Dirty Hippies.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
Well, all right, show me that clock. Are you ready to do some picks? It's time to get onto the picks. John Wayne Walding 400 at the Brickyard.
Yeah, I didn't hit reset on this.
John, I'm excited about it. I'm actually doing a segment with the 640 Sports guys this Friday from Miami Dolphins camp, and I will try to force a little NASCAR talk in on that deal.
Yeah, good luck. At least you can make the picks during that.
Make the picks. Maybe there's a Miami Dolphin player that is a NASCAR fan. I can try to figure that out and try to get him in on the
deal. Well, we had a guy that used to be that's a drag racing guy.
Yeah.
I forgot his
name. Lydon Murtha.
There you go. Murtha, our boy. Big guy, man.
Great friend. Well,
God, he was big.
Offensive lineman. They tend to be large. Out at the Mopar Mile High Nationals, we had quite a few celebrities. We had Richard Rawlings from Fast and Loud. He raced the 707 horsepower Chrysler SRT Hellcat, which is an unbelievable car.
Oh, I saw that on the broadcast. What a beautiful car, though it was red.
It's a Challenger. First of all, I like red cars, but it was a Challenger. But think about 700 horsepower from the factory, folks. Just take a second to absorb that. That's pretty crazy. Christopher Titus was out there from
Titusville.
A stand-up. He's not from Titusville. He's a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, didn't he have a show?
Yes, he had a show called Titus.
There you go.
And I of course, fell into his trap. I said, hey, we're on the starting line with Chris Titus. He goes, hey, I go by Christopher because Chris Titus sounds like a disease. You know, he had his little routine, which was fine. And we had a fair amount of celebs out there. Some athletes were out there. Like a lot of the Broncos were out there. Did I know which ones they were? No, I did not. But it was a good time. So, all right, we're going to make our picks. We're going to have to get on the horn with Bob Smith and Tommy
Payton
Noodles.
So Payton wasn't there? You didn't recognize Payton?
No, but they are very psyched about Broncos camp. That was the lead of every...
They got a good team, wouldn't you be? I mean, look, people are excited down here. The Dolphins are going to suck.
Well, they want to get vengeance for what happened to them.
Oh, Denver,
the Broncos, for their fail.
Yeah, no, that was
their historic, epic fail.
I don't know if it was historic, but...
It was.
But it was kind of reminiscent of what the Niners did to them and what used to happen to them in the 80s in the Super Bowls?
Yeah, just total meltdown. Total blowout meltdown. It's just destruction at the hands of Seattle.
The Legion of Boom.
Yep. NFL coming back real soon. NASCAR going to go toe-to-toe with the NFL. All right, when we come back, we're going to make our picks for the John Wayne Walding 400 at the Brickyard, the most legendary track on the planet. We'll be back, and we'll wrap it up right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821.
I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Hey, racing fans, this is Big Dave Lemon, the host of Poker Action Line Radio. And I know you guys are big racing fans, but you probably like poker as well. So why not tune into a great poker show featuring interviews with poker stars and some of the greats of the game? That's Poker Action Line. You can find it on iTunes by searching Poker Action Line or pick it up on our website at PokerActionLine.com.
WFO.
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 WFO! WFO.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO!
Take me to the action, take me to the track. Take me to a party if they're betting in the back. I've been working all my life, can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I'll be late. I want the easy.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas. It's that time of the week once again where the WFO Radio Handicappers pick you winners. This week's race, the John Wayne Walding 400 at the Brickyard. Very excited about that. And hopefully, we'll pick another winner. The order this week, myself, Bob, Tom, and Giovanni. And I gotta say, Giovanni, we're short 50% of the field here. What's going on?
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
No Bob, no Tom.
Bob made his pick. He didn't phone it in.
He did make his pick?
Yes.
See, I don't see that.
It's in the pick, in whatever you call that.
The email chain.
The chain to thread.
Well, I'll have to find it, but no, Bob did not call. I'm going to have to call him. An object.
It's the one right before you sent out that says make the calls.
Joe has been on the clock for a week.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
I see who
three
Brad.
After that.
I see who this guy picked. Thank you very much. But I have implored him to call. He may or may not. But no Tommy as well. Tommy has the boys this week, from what I understand. Whoa. What's Bob doing here? Oh, I understand. I made a mistake. Well, I'm going to have to let everybody know about that. But first, the odds, as seen by the folks at William Hill, the home of betting, as we make two picks each week, a favorite and a dark horse, for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series action. The favorites have to be less than 15-1, and here they are. Jimmy Johnson and Brad Keselowski are the co-favorites at 11-2. Jeff Gordon is 8-1. Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Casey Kane, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. are all 10-1. Matt Kenseth is 12-1. And those are the drivers that are available for our favorite pick. Now the dark horses. At 15-1, you've got Joy. You have Denny Hamlin. And you have Tony Stewart, all at 15-1. At 20-1, you've got Ryan Newman. You've got Clint Bowyer. And you've got Carl Edwards and Kyle Larson and Kurt Busch, all at 20-1. At 40-1, you've got Greg Biffle, Jamie McMurray, and Brian Vickers, all at 40-1. At 60-1, you've got Juan Pablo Montoya. They forgot the A.
No, I'm gonna say they ran out of characters.
Characters there. Available for that. You know, Montoya. Paul Menard are 60-1. At 100-1, you've got Martin Truex Jr. and Eric Almirola. That Almirola pick, not bad, man. 100-1, the kid's proven he can win. It can happen. And
not gonna happen.
Austin Dillon, 150-1. At 200-1, you've got Marcos Ambrose. And at 250-1, you have Danica. Danica, 250-1. I would put $5 on it because, you know, crazy things happen. And Bob would say, thank you for the money. And the field is 75-1, and those are the odds for the John Wayne Walding 400 at the Brickyard. Wow. And to lead the picks, I go first, Bob goes second, Tommy goes third, and Gio goes last. Now, Tommy is MIA. We're waiting on Bob. Bob is nowhere to be found, but he has made his picks, so it looks like we're just going to go on without. But I will make my picks. First of all, this is a very important, significant race that is also the second richest and maybe even the richest NASCAR race, like for payday. And
we don't
think about that, but the racers do. We think that they're all millionaires and that they all but someone's going to get this money. It's going to be like $500,000 or something. They want to win it. So this is a very, it's almost like a one-off race. The usual suspects. Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Kevin Harvick, all of those guys can win. Kenseth can win. But I decided that I'm going to take a little bit of a risk here. I'm going to make a risky pick. This is going to be my risky pick week. I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. I'm going to do something. I'll try to get on board with like a big emotional win, get a little momentum going. So instead of taking the easy way out and taking Brad Kay or Jimmy Johnson or Matt Kenseth or Kevin Harvick or Kyle Busch or any of those guys, Jeff Gordon, I have decided to continue the dream season and a big momentum gainer. He's actually been pretty good at this track in the past before having some sort of problem at the end. Give me Dale Earnhardt Jr. You heard it here, folks, right here. Where did he win? Where did he win his race?
Pocono.
Pocono. Mm-hmm.
And Daytona.
Pocono, right. Pocono and Indy are very similar. They've
Absolutely.
Had, I'm taking a total flyer here because I'm feeling it.
Wow.
Dale Jr., 10-1. And when it comes in, I don't know what. Let's stop the earth and rotate it backwards in celebration of me. There you have it. But now you probably want a dark horse.
You're not going to pick a dark
no,
horse?
No, I am.
Yeah.
I am.
I mean, are you that confident?
No.
Are you going to pull a Gio in that championship run?
Definitely not. I want to make a dark horse pick. And initially I was looking at Joy. I thought Joy was a really good pick, but I did not pick Joy. Although I think that's a great, great pick. But again, what did I just tell you about my picks this week?
That you went out on a limb.
Risky picks. Risky picks. I'm making risky picks. I'm going long odds. I want to really try to pile on you guys and just crush you beneath my feet. Because this is a big team thing and we're all having success together. So then I thought, you know, Tony Stewart won the sprint car race. Wouldn't that just be the best way for Tony Stewart to return? He think about this. He was injured in a sprint car that caused him to drive poorly in NASCAR. He wins in a sprint car, which brings him all the way back. The circuit is now complete.
Oh, from right. Your mouth to
he wins
the
in a sprint car.
God's ears.
Tony Stewart. But I'm not picking Tony Stewart either. So what I decided was, who is a driver that has experience on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that is has been good here in the past and has limited opportunity that but can make the most of it and in his limited opportunity is going to be in great equipment? And that answer is Juan, who is also about to have $14 million in his pocket from selling his luxury condo on South Beach. Juan Pablo Montoya. And at 60-1... It was just a couple years ago. He had it won.
Yeah, blew it.
And he blew it. I think he's got unfinished business. I think Juan Pablo Montoya is going to win the Brickyard. That's my risky pick. 60-1. And they will sing songs about me.
Yeah, maybe. Not around here, I'll tell you that.
You won't, if I win the 60-1 pick, you won't sing songs about me?
No, maybe.
You
I'll make a promo or
and
something.
And Bob and Tommy that. Noodles. You know, he is the great Joe Costello. He picked the Brickyard. I don't know, man. Game of Thrones thing. They sing songs about you.
Woo!
Yeah. And there you have it. I take Dale Jr. and Juan Montoya. But look, I accidentally wrote Joy on the paper.
Wow.
This was earlier in the day. That's how in love with the Joy pick I am.
Well, but I got to say the Joy pick is great, being that he's been running well everywhere.
Absolutely. But I wanted to be risky, though. At 15-1, I deliberately stayed away. Bob Smith, who has not called, he's failed us. You failed us for the last time, Bob. Bob takes Brad Keselowski. Hey, guys, Bob Smith. He takes Brad K at 11-2 and Joy at 15-1.
There you go.
Both Penske cars.
Both Penske cars.
Both chalk.
Yep. The chalk of each side, yes.
Yes, the chalk of each side. So Brad K at 11-2 and Joy at 15-1. Tommy Noodles has not supplied picks this week.
Tommy, you're failing us.
What? I understand.
No, it's okay. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I got to say, there might have been a failure on the part of whoever picked first to wait to such last minute.
That was me. I did that.
It
was the traveling and the stuff.
I think it was more the week off, too.
Everything.
Because even this morning when I called you, I'm like, hey, I haven't seen the odds go out.
Totally forgot all about it. Our whole show, everything we do, the fact that we do a show. I'm in Denver recovery, man.
I didn't even know it was Wednesday.
Rocky Mountain High. The air is thin up there. You're surviving on little oxygen.
I can't breathe.
Huffing and puffing. Don't say that. That was in the news lately. That statement.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. Some guy got, you know, killed. Anyway, Tommy Noodles, no picks. You want to assign him picks? I'll give him the field.
Okay.
And let's just give him the field.
The field.
Tommy Noodles takes the field.
All right.
Okay. And then Giovanni, you're up.
Well, all right, all right, all right. Woo! Here's one for you. I don't know. Well, where are we? Indy. The Brickyard. This is great.
Wait, time out. After all of that, you're unprepared as well? Like, as unprepared as I was to start the day, I at least made picks and came up with a good, ingenious, the risky pick thing. That's a bit, man. And here we are. I go through all that. And you, here you are, you have no pick?
Well, I was doing research and checking the charts and graphs and coming up with Geo's Nuggets.
Why don't you just use my system then?
Okay, look.
And I'll take half credit for your win.
You have a good pick, very good pick, Dale Jr., because he won at Pocono. Brad has an even better pick because Brad was dominating. I'm sorry, Bob with Brad is an even better pick because he was dominating at Pocono before he gifted the race to Junior.
Yes.
So we can, you know, both of you guys have great picks right there. Can't argue with that. But as Gio researched the Nuggets,
yeah,
Brad Kay and Joey Logano are not good picks after all.
I know where this
Chevy
is going.
Chevy has won 11 straight races at the Brickyard.
Wow.
You heard me. 11 straight races. That's kind of crazy. And 15 out of the 20 total Brickyard races won by Chevys. And those guys drive Fords, so they're not going to win. Anyway, moving along. 8 Brickyard winners have gone on to win the championship that season. That is your nugget for the week right there.
Tremendous.
Anyway, as we're searching the picks, I went up and down, and I'll be honest with you, I still have not finalized my choice, but I'm going to go with the Geo theory here. I'm sorry, with the Joe theory.
Yeah.
I'm picking last.
I can feel
and
this
no
thing
one
happening.
Has picked him. I'm taking Jimmy Johnson right off the top of the board.
Uh-huh.
I will say that if I was over there in Vegas, I would throw a couple bucks at Harvick and especially Jeff Gordon. This is a race that Jeff Gordon has won 3 times in the past, and Jeff's having a pretty good year. He just hasn't been able to close them out all. So watch out for Jeff Gordon, but I'm taking Jimmy Johnson as my favorite.
The Joe Costello from WFO Radio Fame system.
That's right.
If you go last and Jimmy's available.
And the favorite is on the board.
You take him.
You can't just leave him there.
Well, it's not the favorite, Jimmy Johnson. Like, I'd take Jimmy Johnson.
Right. I mean.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to take some credit for your win. I get half credit.
All right.
For giving you the system. All right. Now your dark horse.
And dark horses. Well, it would be nice for a guy like Montoya or McMurray or Vic. Well, McMurray has won here in the past. But I was looking through the names of previous champs, and most of them is, like I just mentioned, 8 guys went on to win the championship that same season. It's the heavy hitters. It's the Dale Earnhardt Seniors. It's the Jarrett, Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Tony Stewart.
Paul Menard.
Right. Paul Menard snuck in there 1 year, and you can almost argue that McMurray's win is the only other guy that Newman last year. I wouldn't consider him totally elite either. But historically, this race is won by a big name. So what bigger name is on the board left down there than the man who Joe gave you every reason why he's going to come and win this weekend, Tony Stewart at 15-1.
Wow.
Won the sprint car. It's coming full circle for you out there in the West Coast, Rudy, in Arizona. Tony Stewart's going to bring it home for all the Tony Stewart fanatics this week. He's coming back. No more injury excuses.
The circuit is now complete. There you have it. Giovanni takes Jimmy Johnson and Tony Stewart. Tommy Noodles takes the field. Bob Smith takes Brad Kay and Joy. And I took Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Juan Pablo Montoya. And those are the picks for the Sprint Cup John Wayne Walding 400 at the Brickyard at the most famous track on the planet, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. How about that? That was exciting and
fun.
I like your picks. Tony Stewart, the Tony Stewart pick, that feels like a great story to me. I feel like that's happening. It's just not.
Oh, it's summertime. He's starting to race better. He had a good car. He wasn't he leading at Pocono before he brain freeze and sped in the pits under caution?
Jeez, man. I mean, you're turning this into like a potty humor show. Like, what are you doing?
I'm not the one that brought up the Cottonelle commercials talking about wet, dry wipes and stuff.
No, but it's obviously you can't control the thought process.
Look, let me tell you, I have demonstrated tons of control just by being able to not be foul on this show because you know that my mouth is not the best.
It is kind of a miracle.
I mean, come on. I've never really cursed or anything really terrible
out
of my mouth.
You've never let one out on the show.
or cursed either.
Well, there you have it.
But realistically, as a Tony Stewart fan, it made me really happy that he's back in one of those other cars and winning because I think that when he's doing that, it makes him happy and it kind of takes away the craziness that he's got up there all the time. And maybe now he can go out there and relax and win.
Takes away the craziness. Yeah, maybe. The chaos of the sprint car. It just chases the moths away. Who knows? Well, I like the picks. I like Tommy's pick especially. All right, Gio, any final thoughts? Anything we need to put on the table? I have something that I need to drop on the table. It's very
There's a couple of nuggets.
Self-serving and promotional. Let me get to my own thing.
You want to do yours first?
Well,
okay.
Exactly. I do want to do because yours goes last. But basically, we talked about the run on the WFO radio hats and the fact that there were 8 left and that someone that will go nameless from Saugus has tried to corner the market. If you do want one, email me. Because I'll try to figure it out, and we'll try to make things go. Of course, the same as they are on the websites, like $15 plus shipping. But
I'll research my end over there and see if I have any answers.
Right, we're at the end of the line here. But we might as well be on people's heads than sitting in our room here.
On my shelf.
Okay, and one of our WFO listeners out there, Dave, was a photographer. Like, wanted the hat, and I did not have the hat for him, and it was just a bummer. So we're going to figure that out. Now, on the other hand, the WFO radio keychains, the bottle opener keychain that is on sale for the very first time for the most hardcore of hardcore WFO fans, it was basically the secret WFO Insiders Club thing to have for the first couple years of the show. And I have 20 of them.
Yeah, it wasn't that many to begin with.
I have 20 of them left, right? We put them on the website. Because what is the point of them sitting on this shelf right here, which is where they have been? Our great friends at azbillet.com made them for us. Why should they? They should be in the hands of WFO radio listeners. It's a cool piece of metal. It has WFO radio etched in it. There's a photograph on the website. It's a bottle opener. It's a keychain. It's a Christmas ornament. If you were in a car submerged in a lake sinking to the bottom, you could probably break your way out of the car with it maybe. What do you think about that? Do you think you could?
Possibility,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty thick, right? Bash the window with it. Although that has not been tested independently, and so we cannot...
We cannot make those claims.
We cannot make that claim officially.
We do not have independent laboratory testing on
it. No, but it is available in the WFO store. We put it up for $8. Figure that's pretty much what these big-time keychains are going for, any kind of branded stuff. Obviously, if you think we're way off base, don't buy it. But if you love the show and you want to support it, get yourself one of these WFO radio keychains, and then we'll get some more stuff made.
Absolutely.
Right? That's my self-aggrandizing, self-fulfilling thing. Other than that, I know we've certainly forgotten something. We always do.
I got a couple of things. Number one, Centurion card is the black card.
Centurion card is the black card.
Yes, invitation only. You cannot apply for it. They have to accept you, I guess, or come out to you. The place I was speaking in Nevada is Valley of Fire.
The Valley of Fire.
It looks like Mars out there. It was actually really cool. It's way past the Vegas racetrack. You just keep going out there to where you think there's definitely bodies hidden out there. It was a bit scary because the cell phones didn't work or any of that. But Mrs. Gio, one of those trips to Vegas, made me go out there and rent a car and take her out into the middle of the desert. I almost left her there too, but that's a different story.
These are things you should not say ever.
It was not on purpose. It was an accident, actually.
Boy, that was great. Did I forget something? Nah, I don't think so.
It wasn't like my plan that the day we go hiking, I'm going to push her off the cliff.
I kind of feel like the red rocks are the same rocks. The amphitheater.
I can understand that it could be on the other side, yes. That's, very easily. Very easily.
I feel like it has something to do with the base of the Rocky Mountains. Somehow it got turned up, obviously, a million years ago. Well, that's very interesting. What else?
And, I think that was it in terms of this stuff. Let me look through the... No, that's it. That's all I got.
That's all the Geo's tools for this week.
Yeah. Oh, there's a Formula One race this weekend, Hungary.
Hungary.
No, Gary's not hungry.
Hungary. looking hungry.
Budapest.
Budapest. Looking very much forward to that, obviously, to see which of the two Mercedes win. Nico or Lewis?
Lewis is going to win this week, of course.
Maybe a Ferrari can get up there.
Ay vey.
They fired everybody. They're done. That's it. They're done for this year. It's over. It's all about for next year.
Fernando every week driving like a champ. This week he held Ricardo behind him the whole race. A couple of weeks ago he was doing his best. He had Vettel behind him the whole race, and finally Vettel bested him at the end.
Yes.
That we were giving Rich some the trouble. Business about that. But this week it was Ricardo, and he was actually held him off. And they finished almost side by side there in the last lap.
What a waste!
What a waste of talent. I mean, it's almost like seeing
very frustrating.
You know, I don't even know. Well, I don't even have anything to compare it to.
Dan Marino with the Miami Dolphins.
You know, that was my first thought, but they did get to a Super Bowl, and they continuously lost in the playoffs.
And Fernando is a two-time champion, so
right.
It's just with Ferrari. The experience with Ferrari is so perfect on every other level except for Ferrari right now does not have the fastest car. Is it a sled? You know, I don't know if it's a sled. I know that the Mercedes and the Red Bulls are faster each of the past couple of years. They've been bested by one or two other teams every year Fernando's been there. So it's a waste. It's a waste of this guy's heroic performances. You put him in one of those other cars, I don't know. I feel like he's winning the championship. So
I would definitely make that argument that if he was driving Sebastian's car all those years, he would have won four in a row, too.
But that is potentially for many drivers. Who knows? That's ifs
what
and buts. It is the end of the line.
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, it'd be Christmas every day.
And on that note, I guess we're going to call it a show. Folks, thank you very much for listening to WFO Radio. Hey, first-time listener, that wasn't so bad. And look, you're closer to getting off work or finishing the mowing of the lawn or whatever you're doing, driving down the highway, getting somewhere from Colorado to Sonoma, wherever. The Ignition Show. It's like BSing with your buddies, except we don't know each other just yet. That's going to do it. Thanks to everyone who participated on the show. All you callers, that was cool. This was one of the best call-in shows. We had first-time callers watching out for the bat signal that we sent out. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow the Twitter account and share all our stuff, because you guys are the way other people find out about the show. That's really important. You are the primary way. And you can send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Castello Media, WFO Radio, P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084, and I'll load it up with some free stickers. That's going to do it, Gio. See you next week. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
And all you out there, thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Go Junior on WFO Radio.
WFO! The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
It just fits my style.